The epistle of Jude. Jude wrote just one page, more or less. But it is a tremendous message for us who live in the end time. Reading three verses. Verses 3, 4, and 5, please follow in your Bibles. Beloved, says Jude when he was writing this epistle, when I gave all diligence to write to you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The reason for this is given in verse 4. Please follow. For, because there are certain men crept in, unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Amen. The theme for our consideration, all of us, is in verse 3, the latter part. That we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What do you mean by contend? This is a fighting talk. Please understand, Christianity is to bring peace. And yet there are times when we must wake up to know when our faith and our very salvation is imperiled by forces that are working inside the church. Wake up and fight. This is what this verse tells us of a problem that was encountered in the time of Jude. And the same problem continues to today. It is by God's grace only that this church is standing. For the BP Church, founded in 1950, is now 61, 62 years old. You say a long time, and yet in God's sight, a short time. In our lifetime, it is a long time, 62 years. And I was there as one of the very first in Prinsep Street Life Church English service. And there we solemnly vowed that we will earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints by the word of God. Today no longer. What happened? Our dear friends, there is much relevance in this verse that we are talking about. Earnestly contend. Who is to contend? Over what? The object of the contention is the faith once delivered unto the saints. The body of doctrine. We understand wherein we stand, whereby we are saved. The very constitution of our church, as it were, is being imperiled by certain men crept in unawares. So true. And it lasted for just 30 odd years. History is a great teacher. And I say, dear friends, Those who ignore the lessons of history are doomed. Doomed to repeat these mistakes and to fall victim to those mistakes by 1980. It was obvious the BP Church was not standing fast. Every session of the presbytery and synod meeting was a session of arguments and contention. Younger ones in the leadership were saying, why do we use this King James Bible? We can't understand. The same argument goes on today. Praise God, we still use the King James Bible. And God helping, and we contending, this will be the word of God to us until the Lord returns. When I first started Calvary in Jurong, voices said to me, hey, you better change to one of the new modern English Bibles. We cannot understand the these and the thous and all those old English language. I say, yes, understand. Understanding is not in the these and the thous. Understanding comes from the Spirit of God to obedient hearts. Those who will listen and say, yes, that is the Word of God and I must submit unto it. Not new English, then they say, it's so good. Now I understand. Besides, these people did not understand that the new English versions were all perverted, corrupted, every one of them. Somewhere you say, but I read, it's so good. I got saved by it. Possible? Absolutely possible. Therein is the danger. It's so good. You can be saved by it. You can be revived by it. But there are hidden dangers. I'm telling you. So therein is a deception. The apostle Jude says this, you should earnestly contend, fight for the faith, not just fight half-heartedly, you know. What's the use of fighting half-heartedly? In other words, you are preparing for defeat and surrender. No, please understand. The thing we are fighting for is the faith delivered unto the saints. Was it delivered from time to time? You say, now it is 2012. We have something new. Do you know, dear friends, there's nothing new in the gospel except that which is false. Take that in. Don't say, new English, so good. New Bible, so good. All these new things. Remember that there is nothing new except that which is false. So we contend. By 1988, 38 years after the Bible Presbyterian Church was founded, the contention became so acute. I was present there, and I say it is a dead loss. And when you belong to a body that is a dead loss, what do? You get out. I put in a letter of resignation. Calvary stops being a member and we will get out. 1988. Following this, six other churches in the group did the same. We are getting out. By the end of the year, the BP Synod collapsed. Finished. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Let me give you another example. All of us have heard of the most famous university in the whole world, not NUS. Harvard. All our top scholars are sent to Harvard. Amazing school, founded by a Bible-believing Christian called John Harvard in the 17th century. He was one of those who fled from Europe, England, for the New World in order to find freedom of worship, because they were persecuted. And he says, now we shall found a school here. And with all his wealth, he gave it to this institution. And he says, now watch out. We must ensure that our children will know the faith. So he wrote out everything in detail, spelling out how the students in Harvard School will read their Bible twice a day. And the faculty must be born-again Christians. How long did Harvard last? I don't know. But today it is a hotbed of apostasy. Do you understand? 17th century. 18th century came in the falling away. 19th century became a rapid flowing stream of falling away. 20th century became a great torrent. All those who were not earnestly contending fell into this great stream of apostasy. Please read the little book that I've compiled out of the internet. I didn't write it, just compiled it, make it short for you to read. Available in Tabernacle Books. In the 20th century, almost all the churches that were not contending, all of them, fell into the ecumenical stream. This is a prediction and the fulfillment of the prediction. All those who will not contend fall away. All of them. Who are they? Evangelicals led by Billy Graham. He was one of my heroes. Please understand, no one stands fast who is not earnestly contending. But he joined the Roman Catholics. And then he says to the Archbishop, the gospel that brought me here today is the same as your gospel. We are one in Christ. Oh dear. Oh dear. You know, there are those who think that by being friendly, by being clever, by being obliging, they're doing God a favor. Dear friends, we don't do God any favors at all. If we serve Him, it is because He saved us. We are merely repaying a gospel debt. So, 20th century, all the evangelicals fell away. There are a few exceptions, a few. Who else fell away? The Church of England. Every Archbishop of Canterbury welcomed the Pope to England and then signed agreements. We will go back to Rome in time to come. So fall away. The biggest denomination in Protestantism is Church of England. 70 million. Finish. Please don't think that we BPs are big. We are nothing. We're just a tiny little dot in the ocean. Anglican, 70 million. You say, how big is the Roman Catholic Church? How big is it? Do you know? 1.2 billion. 1,200 million. And so it is like a great magnet. All the churches say, we must go. Evangelicals say, we will go. Anglicans say, we will go. All the charismatic churches say, we will go. We are part of you. This is the falling away. Look now at verse 3. The Apostle James, Jude said, I exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Who should contend? Who? Those who know the Savior, those who are saved by His precious blood, must take on the responsibility to contend. Don't expect to hire people to contend. Those hirelings will never contend. We who know the Savior are to stand up and to stand for the truth and fight for it. May our leaders here continue. Sometimes we are a bit unpopular, you know. Because they say, you always fighting. Well, fighting cock. Why aren't you friendly like the rest of the people? I said, dear friends, let us sometimes be misunderstood. Doesn't matter. If we have erred on that kind of behavior, the Lord forgive us and teach us how to contend without being contentious. But we must contend. We must stand up and say, this is the truth. Nothing else but the truth. You bring in anything else, no matter how sweet it looks and how sweet it tastes, that is false. So this is the problem. How do we know it is a problem? Answer, the Holy Spirit tells us. You cannot know it is a problem. You cannot accept that it is a problem, except the Holy Spirit tells you that it is a problem. Do you know this, please? My telling you is worthless. Except the Holy Spirit says, Amen. It is found in the book of God. And no matter what I say, forget it. If it is not in the book of God. So here it says, you should earnestly, please understand, earnestly means don't give up. Hold on to it like a bulldog. Once you bit, you don't let go. Now, how long did Harvard last? How long? I don't know. But maybe 20 years, maybe 50 years, maybe 100 years, I don't know. But it was founded in the 17th century. Today, Harvard, Yale, Cornell, Columbia, New York, all those universities are hotbed of apostasy. All the theological colleges, universities, and seminaries are Satan's strongholds. Too bad. And people send their children there. Wow, Harvard Divinity School. Where else can we go? That is the best school. The Word of God says, verse 4, please follow. There are certain men crept in unawares. These are the worst kind of infiltrators. You know what I mean? You know the story of Troy, how Troy fell? They sent in this Trojan horse. And inside the horse, this giant horse, were the spies. And you send in a few spies into the city will fall. From what? Verse 4 says, certain men crept in unawares into the church. That is the surest way of causing the church to downfall. Thank God we have very strict safeguards so that we can continue in the faith, continue healthy in the spiritual things. Don't exult and say, so good. What a big church we have. I said, don't revel in these superficial things. Numbers don't count, do you know at that? One with God is a majority. I say, if we, one church with God, be a majority, let us continue to be. But let us watch out. Verse 4. There are certain men crept in unawares, who go in as preachers, evangelists, theologians. Wow, I come from Yale Divinity School. What do you know? And so they are called reverends, bishops. Wow, amazing. Everybody bows to them. These are the certain men crept in unawares. You know what Paul said? Paul says, I cease not to warn you all day and night with tears, because he couldn't help weeping for the future of the church, knowing that one day that church may fall. So he wept for them. So here we can imagine Jude weeping, telling the people there are certain men crept in unawares. And Paul says, you know, after my departing, there will be wolves among you. Today they pretend to be sheep, to be shepherds. They pretend. So many are pretenders in the church as reverend so-and-so, with gowns and beautiful, impressive garments to impress. Watch out for them. They are crept in underwears. So Paul says, I weep for you. Because after my departing, when I'm no longer here, when I'm not here to shout and to warn, those people come and take over, then you will be in trouble. Oh, dear friends, how long will Calvary Pandan last? How long? I say, as long as your leaders are strong as Paul, as strong as Jude, the church will stand. As soon as the leadership goes weakened, as long as the leadership goes into the ecumenical stream and say, not bad, not bad, we sail along with others, the more the merrier. Numbers are so good. We are so lonely sometimes, you know. And then you say, it's so good. But these are men crept in unawares. Paul calls them wolves. They are in the flock to do great harm and danger. Read on verse 4. They are before of old time ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now this is a long word. What do you mean by lasciviousness? Do as you please in the sexual realm. Anything goes. Today there is a great debate. Is it good to be gay? What's wrong with homosexuality? Do you know that Mrs. Hillary Clinton last month in Geneva addressed the United Nations and said, let there be a global liberalization and acknowledgement that homosexuals are normal people. Who said this? The number one world power today says so. She represents the United States. And whatever the United States says today, not China, please understand, not China. People say, now is China. I said, you are wrong. China will never become a world power. It is America. Why do I say so? I'm telling you out of God's word. It is the Roman Empire that will control the world in the end times. Not the Chinese Empire. It's not even mentioned in the Bible. Only one word. Sinim. Only one word. Now, please understand, we are not here to talk of prophecy. Mrs. Hillary Clinton. She says, gays are normal. And America will use its political and financial power to ensure that all countries will come to this acceptance of gays as normal. Question, how long will Singapore last? Your guess is as good as mine. But I say, there was a debate about 3 years ago, a body of people called AWARE. Do you remember the AWARE incident? Those people in the AWARE had been infiltrated by men crept in unawares. Unawares, and they were aware. And they went to the schools to teach the children free sex is good as long as there's no infection, no pain, no objection. Carry on. Enjoy yourselves. This is the teaching. Now, how long will Singapore last? Our old God are finished. They're gone. Yes? If you have Mr. LKY there, I can believe that there will be no chance. All right, Mr. Goh Chok Tong, also no chance. Now the younger men, you don't know. If take another election, younger men come in. And the brain is thinking differently. How long will it take for Singapore to go gay? Approving. Men crept in unawares, dear friends. I cannot say you when, but I see it will come. Sooner or later. Again, you say, you are a prophet. I say, I'm not a prophet. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. When the disciples asked Jesus, tell me, Lord, what is the sign of your coming? Do you know what the Lord said? Two things. Days of Noah will be back on earth. Noah. Number two, days of Lot. What are the days of Lot and Noah? Firstly, unbelief. Secondly, violence and rebellion. In the case of Lot, please read the story of Lot. What happened? Everyone in the city crowded around the house of Lot in order to have sex with the two young men they saw coming to Lot's house. This is the problem of the end time. Men with men having sex. It says here, verse 4, the last part, please see. Turning the grace of a God into lasciviousness. What is lasciviousness? Wickedness of a sexual nature. I call it gross immorality. Openly accepted. So this is what Mrs. Hillary Clinton is asking the nations to agree to. Did the Arabs present there agree? No. They walked out of the meeting angry because in their country of Saudi Arabia and those Arab countries, if they're caught, they chop off the head. But money talks. Watch and see. In any case, we're talking of the world scene. So here it says, verse 4, these ungodly men will turn the grace of a God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Antichrist country. What is the Antichrist country? All right, our time is running on. you know, the Word of God warns us. And I want to tell you briefly, very quickly, to another warning of God's Word against the end time deceivers. This is found in 2 Thessalonians. All right, just a quick reference. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Again, the Apostle Paul is giving us a clue. How do you know the Lord will return? By the way, this was our theme of last night, in case you were not here. What was the theme of our sermon last night? Do you believe the Lord is coming back again? You believe, dear friends? If you believe, you're going to be a different person right away. You're going to go to live differently. Your Christian life will be different if the Lord is coming. Now, I'm leading you to the warning of Paul to the Thessalonian church in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3-4. Talking of the coming of Jesus Christ again, he says, verse 3, let no man deceive you, for that day shall not come. What day? The day of Christ's return. There are so many who set dates, date and time, and say, yes, believe me, follow me, but sell all your goods and give me the money. And people, so gullible, so foolish, they actually sell the goods and give him the money to the pastor, the reverend so-and-so, the reverend crook. And he's loaded with money, goes to the hilltop, and when the day comes, Jesus doesn't return. Sorry, wrong calculation, but he's full of money. Dear friends, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Jesus will not return, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You know, this term of son of perdition is used one other time only in the Bible, one other time, to refer to Judas Iscariot, who sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So here is the prediction. Jesus will not return until there is a falling away. What do you mean by falling away? Desertion and abandonment of the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Giving up the faith, the doctrine, and going some other way, their own way. Until this man is revealed, Jesus will not come. Who is this man? He's called the son of perdition. Now we want to know a little more about it. Verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself to be God and his worship. Now this is a sign. What is a sign? First, there's a falling away. And then a man will arise who will call himself God, who is worshipped. When you see this, you know Jesus is coming very soon. Who is this man, son of perdition? There is only one man in the whole of planet Earth who calls himself by the name of God. He's called the Holy Father. He's called the Vicar of Christ. He's called Head of the Church. The three names of God are taken over by this man as his name. And he sits in the throne of God in a place that is called the temple of God, and he is worshipped regularly. I wish I can show you the picture, but if you want to see it, I will give it to you He is worshipped by the bishops, by the priests, and his name is called the Pope. Please understand, these are absolute facts that can be verified by anyone, anytime. When you see this, you know the Lord is returning soon. Earnestly contend for the faith, therefore, dear friends. All the signs of the Lord's imminent return. When I say imminent, you say, is it tomorrow? I never said tomorrow. With God, a year is, a day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years as a day. We cannot set a time to this event of Jesus' return. You set a time, you'll be wrong. What must we do? Repent. Follow the Lord. Serve Him faithfully. Read His word. Be diligent. Earnestly contend for the faith. That is the way to be ready. Now I've given you warnings from Paul. In Acts, he says, wolves will come in. And then in 2 Thessalonians, he says, the man of sin will appear. Now you see all these have happened. When will Jesus come? Answer, I don't know. We are not to know. Jesus says, no man knows, not even the Son. Only the Father knows. In other words, you don't ask, you will never find out. The Lord will come at a time when we do not expect Him. But in the meantime, what must we do? Earnestly contend for the faith. Stand fast, dear friends. Know your Bible. That's why I say you must read your Bible. Not what I say from this pulpit, but what the Word of God says carries weight. Now we'll conclude, dear friends. Earnestly contend. Please, if you are not in the habit of reading the Word of God, make it your desire and ambition and promise. I'm a Christian. I must know what Christ says to me. Don't say, I don't know. I just trust the pastor. Of course, if we are trustworthy and faithful, you can trust us. But do not trust in man. You must know the Word of God. Otherwise, how can you contend? Oh, dear friends, earnestly contend, don't half-heartedly. Since you say so, I will contend. Since you say so, I give you my vote. I say, dear friends, all of us must know the Word of God, must be convinced of the Word of God, must love the Word of God, and obey it. Then you can contend. Now, before I finish this word, it says, lasciviousness. This sign of lasciviousness, do you know? This sexual immorality riddles the whole of the hierarchy of the Roman Church. Do you know that? Do you know that the priests are not allowed to get married? And when they are men in their active years, what do they do? I'm a priest, but I cannot. Sexual lasciviousness is the answer. Men with men. Men with young boys. Every year the newspapers say so everywhere. This diocese in America, that diocese in America, pays out so many billions, millions of dollars to those who are molested by their priests. This is done all the time. All the time. Lasciviousness. When you see this sign of lasciviousness in the church, you know the Lord is coming. What must you do? Earnestly contend for the faith. Let us read together, follow this. Verse 14. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of all these things. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. I say, be ready, dear friends. When he comes and you see him in the clouds, don't regret then. But you must contend now, and you will be rejoiced when you see him come. What does he come for? Verse 15, then we conclude. He comes to execute judgment upon all the earth, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. Today, you say, wow, what can you do? He is a bishop, he's archbishop, and he's a cardinal, and he's so powerful. No, on that day, everything, all the decorations are dropped, and you will see them in their naked form. The ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all the hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. All right, we'll conclude up to here. What did we begin with? Earnestly contend for the faith. I said, dear friends, know the word, know the doctrines. That's why we have this BBK, Basic Bible Knowledge Class. That you may know the word, not our word, but the word of God. God help us, that we will contend because we know the word of God, and we are contending for that word that changes not. God help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may thy Holy Spirit convince us in our hearts of the nearness of the Lord's return and all the signs which are plentifully displayed for us to see today. O Lord, bless your people, revive us for their own purpose. Bless Calvary Pandan Bible Presbyterian Church, that we will not pride ourselves in the name, but we will pride ourselves in the fact that we have a Savior who knows us, who loves us, who died for us, who's coming again for us, and in the fact that we belong to him, and we are earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Bless your people, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.